Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Attention, all parents. This is Wretched Radio. Whether adoptive or biological, you need to know that you will be setting the trajectory of your child's life at birth. That's right. While we don't want to get all Freudian and blame all of our adult maladies on our childhood, even so, we're going to let the secularists help us understand what happens at birth with your child, whether adopted child or biological child. You will play a very large role in how your child thrives or withers in this world. This happens to be from an organization that deals with adopted children who disproportionately struggle with how to get along inside of a family, school, and society. The statistics indicate they struggle more than bio kids, but the bio kids are starting to catch up. Why? Because we have overlooked a little subject called bonding. In our convenience-driven society, moms and dads aren't spending as much time with their babies, and that is going to set the trajectory of their life. This was written by Dave Ziegler, PhD, executive director at an organization called Jasper Mountain Hope for Children and Families. Again, the context, adoptive children. But this applies to all of our kids, and therefore, you and I would do well to listen to the observations that this fellow, who in studying adopted kids, has concluded bonding with your child is a really big deal. From the article, the fundamental success or failure of your child's entire life is established in their early attachment and bonding with their environment. Whoa, we should figure out what that means then, to be attached and bonded with our environment. Patterns of dysfunction in adulthood can be casually linked to the quality of very early attachment. How you interact with your child, how much you interact with your child when they are born or brought into your home, will determine the trajectory of their life. Now, with adoptive kids, that can always be a challenge, of course, because they maybe have spent years not bonding, not attaching. And the consequences of that, as you are about to hear, are pretty devastating. Now, if that applies to adopted kids, it is my premise it applies to bio kids. If we are not doing the things that parents, especially mom, are supposed to be doing, our kid is going to struggle. Attachment and bonding may well be one of the essential keys to explaining the most fundamental psychological and social problems. Again, this is not written from a Christian perspective, but we can learn from secularist observations. How to fix it, that's where the Bible comes into play. Even so, we can learn from secular observations. We now have significant research to confirm this global belief that a person's basic psychological disposition can be established very early in life. Infants whose relationship with their mother are more secure, are more competent as toddlers, preschoolers, and public school students. When a child has a deep attachment to mom, whether bio or adoptive, they just do better. This is that big of a deal. Okay, I don't think that this is fair to apply 1 Samuel, but I can't help but think about the story of Hannah and Samuel. You remember, she wanted to have babies. She couldn't. God had closed her womb. He opens her womb. She promises to dedicate her child to service of the Lord in the temple with Eli. And so she does. But not immediately. Years go by. before she brings the boy to the temple. Why? Because she was bonding with her child. She was spending time staring into the eyes of the child. She was responding to the cries and the needs of the child. That is why today's contemporary, this parenting that ignore your kid so that they just learn how to cope. We used to see it. I remember this when we had our first child. This is going back a ways where you didn't let your child, you had your child rather, stay in their crib and cry it out until they just fell asleep. That's not the way it's supposed to work. When a child cries, it says distress. When you help them, when you rescue them from whatever it is that is causing them to panic, you're developing a bond. You're saying it's safe. It's okay. You fit in here. Now today, we see that parenting model applied to, well, just about anything with the kid. Just ignore them. If they scream in the store, just ignore them. No, if they scream in the store and you don't deal with them, even in a disciplinary way, you're saying, I don't care about you. And that is the wrong message to send to a child. The consequences of not parenting in an affectionate, attentive, long-form manner, it has devastating results. Abused children have also been found to be more difficult to raise, while neglected children are more passive, and children in supportive environments are more cooperative. The majority of men and women in our correctional institutions were abused children, and many have lived a life of antisocial behavior beginning in childhood. If you've ever visited a prison, you do prison ministry, go ahead and ask them, how many people are there who had two parents who didn't abuse them, who tended to their needs, who took care of them, and raised them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord? Yeah, you're going to find some, but the overwhelming majority, you won't. What is abuse? Well, abuse is not having a mommy and a daddy. Abuse is not having any parent that pays much attention to you. Abuse is when the parent is not bonding deeply with the child. Alcohol, drug programs, full with waiting lists, domestic violence, divorce, and broken homes are the highest level in our history. Poverty is connected to this issue. The consequences of not bonding, it's a big deal. Now, this is helpful for the church, not just for parents. Remember, the context of this paper is adopted kids, not bio kids, but I believe the lessons and the applications apply to bio kids. But you should know that if you've got a family in your church who has adopted a child, this is the road that they are currently on. Because that child very probably did not bond rightly. They were abused, not necessarily physically, but they were abused because they weren't taken care of as an infant. They could have been abandoned, mom, dad coming and going, not very involved with the upbringing of the child. The consequences of it, these kids, I'm telling you, they end up being troubled way more than bio kids, especially those who have bonded correctly. Go visit a troubled boy's home. I've done it. I've been to three of them. And I've asked the leader of that organization the same question. What percentage of the kids here are adopted? And they look at me like, how do you know this information? Because they know. And the average, if I recall, because I did one of these years ago, it's between 60 and 80% of the kids in a troubled boys' home are from an adopted family. That is disproportionate. We've got to ask ourselves the question, why? And the answer is trauma, abuse, and a lack of bonding. Let that be a lesson to all parents. Humans' attachment had a lot to do with infant experiencing its needs being met and also how these needs were met. For example, being given a bottle to feed is qualitatively different than the touch, warmth, and comfort of breastfeeding with the mother. Now, I remember we went to a bottle pretty quickly. Our kids were really hungry. nevertheless, it was done tenderly. And you can't argue a bottle is not nearly as intimate as the mother breastfeeding. What's happening there? Attachment, safety, comfort. It is well, and it affects the child into adulthood. Early negative experiences with hunger, illness, unhappiness, and pain can produce disrupted bonding. Please note that. Any negative experience like hunger, illness, unhappiness, and pain, physical or emotional, can produce disrupted bonding. If an infant's signaling is not responded to in either sufficient quantity or quality, withdrawal can occur. Children have egocentrism, which means that after 12 months of age, they often construct their own internal world and can ignore external information that contradicts this internal world. And that is why so many adoptive kids, they don't conform to the patterns of their parents. Because they're doing their own thing inside, and they are doing things inside to protect themselves because they don't want to go through trauma. They don't want to be abused or abandoned or not taken care of again. So they learn to not rely on parents. And the effects of that, woo! Next on Wretched Radio. Let's play a word association game. I will give you several words and several short phrases, and you need to figure out what they all have in common. Are you ready? Go. Telehealth. A huge PPO network. $3 billion of medical bills. Double the satisfaction rate. Saving an average of $500 per month. What do all of those words and phrases have in common? The answer is MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing. Your family will likely save on average $500 per month. And according to their surveys and polls, you're going to be twice as happy with MediShare than you were with your traditional health insurance. Would you like to know what your family will be saving every month? Please call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. As always, you know we appreciate your continued support, and we need that support now more than ever. Our newest evangelistic booklet, Solving the God Puzzle, is here, and we need your help to get it into as many hands as possible. Just head over to wretched.org/puzzle to request as many copies as you promised to give away, and we'll send them to you at no cost other than the shipping. This effort is only made possible with the support of our gospel partners. So while you're visiting wretched.org, head on over to the donate page and consider becoming a monthly gospel partner. Your ongoing support and partnership helps us spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ across the globe. And just like here with Solving the God Puzzle, you're enabling Wretched to reach the lost, equip the saints, and strengthen and serve the local church. So check out all of the details on supporting Wretched right now at wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
If and you don't mind me saying so, I resonate with this sentiment from Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries.
To be able to look across America and see this Holocaust of abortion and know that people like you are doing something about it. It's one thing to say that we're against abortion, but it's really another to take action.
Do you resonate with that sentiment? Then please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. Ultrasounds save lives. For $28, you will be providing an ultrasound that 80% of the time causes the mother to choose life. That's really doing something. May I ask, how many babies' lives could you save for $28 each? Preborn Ministries also preaches the gospel to the mommies and the daddies, and you can learn more at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. John, the beloved disciple, author of the Gospel of John and Revelation, also wrote three epistles. In this first epistle of John, the apostle has one main concern, that we may know if we have eternal life and if our faith is genuine faith. If you want to know that you have eternal life, Turn to 1 John and see what he has written for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, Jimmy, no, we didn't. This is Wretched Radio. We did not let our children cry it out. We did the opposite, not because we were being brilliant and attachment-minded parents. We just couldn't take it. So we would run in about 2 minutes of crying. What's up, sweetie? We just broke our hearts. We couldn't stand it.
Yeah, same.
And that turned out to be a massive blessing in light of some of the research that has only been transpiring for the last maybe decade, maybe a little bit more. And that is the issue of attachment. This has been brought to light because of the effects of adoption on a child who has been traumatized one way or another, struggles to conform to a family, to society, school. They have massive struggles. If you'd ever like to go see a list of the 20 symptoms or signs of what the psychologists would call reactive attachment disorder, you should do so that you can know what adoptive families in your church are almost certainly going through. You can't imagine some of the behavior, and it is connected to attachment. Why is it that so many adoptive kids are super naughty, not just a little naughty, like super naughty, disproportionately? Why do so many adopted kids, why do they have a fixation with feces? Why do so many want to hurt pets? Why do so many lie? I mean, like really obvious lying. You know, the cookie dough is all over their face, in their hair. Did you eat the cookie dough? No. Just blatant, constant, persistent lying. They try to separate and divide parents. If you say yes, the answer is no. If you say up, they go down. Everything is backwards. And that is what an adopted parent is dealing with a child who is not rightly attached. And if it is good for the adopted child to be attached, it's also good for the bio kid. If you've been tempted, perhaps, to use some of the modern parenting methods, like let your kid just cry it out. Don't respond to them. That's the natural way to do it, and it has a benefit. If you're letting somebody else constantly feed your child, don't. They need to connect with you. That intimate eye thing that goes on, that up close personal kind of, whoa, you're in my space. That is, they're learning how to attach. Now they need to learn some discrimination later so that they don't attach with strangers, hence stranger danger. But if they're not adapting their brains to being in a secure family with a mom and dad, their brains are going all over the place. And the fruit of it is devastating. And it will be that way with a bio kid, too. So let us learn from some secularists. This is from Dr. David Ziegler, the executive director of an organization that deals with broken kids. Most of them are adopted, but you can see the same signs in bio kids who have never rightly attached. This is a big deal. If the spiritual attachment process is halted at any stage, the result in the individual is permanently arrested. Now, what does it mean to spiritual attachment? He's not talking about Christianity, described as the experience of oneness, being one with the mother, then having experiences with the mother and others, progressing to an internal world that develops beliefs and values. So if that attachment process is halted at any stage, the result in the individual is permanently arrested. It's permanent. It's, in other words, this is something now that is deep. It is primal in the child. If this gets busted, your child is broken. And unlike Humpty Dumpty, the pieces can't be... No, actually, you couldn't put the pieces... It would be like Humpty Dumpty. I forget my childhood rhymes. We didn't use childhood rhymes in our house, Jimmy. We just quoted Bible verses.
Oh, yes.
We're that spiritual. If spiritual attachment is halted at any stage, the result in the individual is permanently arrested development of their social orientation unless there are specific and effective interventions, the child will be forever broken. Fundamentally, it feels good and pleasurable to be attached, or it feels anxious, frustrating, and bad. The effective response stems from the first three areas and determines the strength of the behavior. So if the child is not getting this bonding, then being close to somebody, it's like, I don't like it. How can that child fit into a family or society? The answer is they can't. One wonders if we're not seeing a lot of the effects of this these days, as kids are exhibiting a lot of the same behaviors, suicide rates through the roof. One wonders when so many parents, sorry for this, mom and dad, are letting their kids bond with a cell phone. This no doubt drives you bonkers. Saw it again. We were out at a restaurant having a turkey Reuben, way better than brisket, the turkey Reuben. So we're having the turkey Reuben, and I look and I see these two parents sitting in a booth and the two teenagers across from them. The two teenagers had their phone right in front of their face, and the two parents looked like, I feel like I've just been run over by a truck. They all looked miserable. And that's happening when the child is an infant. Give them the electronics. No, give them you. Don't be on your phone when you're dealing with them. Deal with them. Look at them. Make eye contact with them. Talk sweet to them. If you don't, your child is getting set up for being busted. A brief comment must be made at this point concerning a topic that is complex and needs more discussion. The trauma bond. Some behaviors that appear to be signs of attachment in children are actually seriously confused interactions which reverse the purpose of healthy attachment. They're called trauma bonds, and their purpose is the protection of the abuser by the child. In other words, they indiscriminately, it's not a genuine bonding to protect themselves. They just play a game. And that may or may not apply to you, but that is one of the effects, one of the consequences. Again, this is a secular article, nevertheless. A serious clinical challenge arises when the child's adaptations become psychologically ingrained. When this occurs, the child is neither aware that they have made the adaptation, nor do they remember or know why they are acting the way that they are. Go ahead and ask a naughty child who is adopted, why are you doing this? And they are genuine when they say, I don't know. I don't know. I just feel the need to do this. Nearly all attachment adaptations are precognitive because they cannot be recalled due to the age of onset, and they are preverbal as well. In other words, a kid is learning foundational attachments without any talk at all. Without understanding words, they hear tone, the warmth, the rocking, the cuddling, consoling, rubbing of the back, burping. Deepest levels of attachment issues are not available to insight or cognitive interventions. Actual or perceived trauma overwhelms the child's ability to cope with life. They can be hypervigilant, heightened startled responses, irritability, anxiety, hyperactivity, and disassociation. Numbing and avoidance are frequent. The numbing or the alarm response produces arousal in the form of anxiety from the trauma. Understanding risks and the ability to problem solve are often poorly developed. The exploring and learning process is halted, and the focus turns to safety as well as needs and wants. When a child is not attached to mom and dad, you know what mom and dad become? Dangerous. That's what happens. Attachment problems may be incorrectly viewed as hyperactivity, low IQ, oppositional defiance, or conduct disordered. How many of those cases do we see these days in schools? Could it be it's because mom in particular, but dad too, aren't bonding with their child? There is evidence that physiological systems of the child are being negatively influenced by the disruption of attachment. The child's brain may learn to organize around a stress response at an early age. They also learn that intimacy is to be avoided at all costs. Now, of course, that's not sexual intimacy in a child, but that does develop or not develop later. They can't be married. They can't retain any sort of long-term relationship with somebody of the opposite sex because they've been traumatized. The effects go on and on. Ego deficiency, handicapped emotional relationships, connections with others based on needs, lack of emotional claim to a care provider, impaired intellectual functioning, can't regulate their impulses. On and on it goes. Moral to the story, the question that every parent, biological or adoptive, needs to ask, am I bonding and doing everything I can to attach to my child because it will affect the rest of their lives? This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Hello, the story that likely will come as no surprise to you. Two female Washington, D.C. police officers recently revealed that when they became pregnant as cadets, their superiors informed them that they would have to get an abortion or be fired. According to news stories, Chanel Dickerson, who is the assistant chief of the Metropolitan Police Department Youth and Family Engagement Bureau, recently told a gathering at Unity Baptist Church of D.C. that she would have been fired from the MPD cadet program if she did not terminate a pregnancy. According to a news report, Dickerson is one of 10 female police officers suing the MPD claiming discrimination for $100 million on the basis of race and gender. Additionally, the suit alleges that MPD's Equal Employment Office, which is supposed to handle discriminatory problems within the department, is led by a man who has repeatedly expressed hostility toward female officers. Well, the Biden administration is pledging to promote abortion at home and abroad as part of a new 10-point strategy by the White House Gender Policy Council that's being billed as a moral imperative. This really isn't the shocker that it may sound to some of you. The administration posted the 10-point national strategy on gender equity and equality on the White House website last week, saying President Biden and Vice President Harris believe that advancing gender equity and equality is fundamental to every individual's economic security, safety, health, and the ability to exercise their most basic rights, I guess, like murdering innocent babies. Well, according to International Christian Concern, at least 17 Egyptian Coptic Christians have gone missing in Libya since the end of September. Friends and family members of the missing Christians who were living in the Egyptian neighborhood of Tripoli says that they were detained by authorities, while others say they were kidnapped by an armed group because of their faith. According to news reports, a lawyer also expressed concern that the missing Christians could meet a similar fate of 21 Coptic Christians who were beheaded by ISIS in 2015. According to Open Doors USA, Libya is ranked number 4 on its list of countries where Christians face the most persecution. And again, as we tell you daily, it seems like here at Wretched, please be in prayer for all of our brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe to bring you what's sitting on my desk in a pile called miscellaneous. But in order to turn it into coherent radio content, we play a theme song. Call it Wide World of Stories. Slap a Bible verse on it. Why in law, you've got yourself Christian Radio. Poor Jack Black can't get a break. He's back in court again. Some people's lives are marked and identified with just one thing, one event, something cataclysmic, and it affects their entire life. This guy who refused to bake a cake because he felt that it went against his religious convictions has been to court, has had his business ruined, has had death threats, and he's back in court again. How many years has this been going? At least a decade for this guy. It has to be a decade. He lost a huge portion of his business, had to let several employees go. After two wins, including one at the U.S. Supreme Court, you'd think that party would be over. But now another lawsuit has been filed against Jack. And unfortunately, a Colorado court allowed this lawsuit to move forward. We got to be praying for this. I mean, just as a professing brother, have you ever been in a lawsuit? They are not fun. They are, even when you win, they take a toll on you. They just drain you. They consume you. You think about it all too often. This is what I've read about it anyway. This guy has been going through this for at least a decade now. How do you think this family is thriving? It has to be a bit of a struggle. Both Jack and his wife, Debbie, were raised in church-going families, but neither put much stock in what they learned. They started their own family with zero interest in anything related to faith. But all that changed. One morning, this is such a great story, Jack finished a late shift and started driving home. I gave my life to Christ driving home from work. Hold on, this is where it gets really cool. Telling Debbie wasn't so simple. Weeks before, she'd torn into a relative who invited them to visit her church. Jack figured, yikes, if she learns of my conversion, she's going to leave me. But he couldn't sleep. The voice in his soul kept urging him to tell her. He walked out to the kitchen. I need to tell you something. I became a Christian today. Tears come to his eyes, remembering what came next. Me too, she said. 3 days ago.
Wow.
Whoa.
Love that.
Never heard that story before, but I've got goosebumps.
Isn't that just, wow. You know what, that I'll tell you the story. I think it's Tony Evans who told a very similar story. Dad gets saved. Mom is absolutely furious, antagonistic. She feels jilted for Jesus. But Dad is definitely different. But wow, the acrimony. So what does Dad do? In order to keep it calm, he doesn't read his Bible in front of her. Instead, in the middle of the night, he would get up, go down to the kitchen, and read his Bible at the kitchen table. One night, she showed up at the kitchen table. What are you doing? I'm reading my Bible. I've noticed you're different. You seem to be kinder, gentler, more loving with me and with the children. I want what you have. And he led his wife to Christ that night. Hold on. Story ain't over. Together, they go upstairs to start telling their kids about Jesus. God does amazing work. You know, I think we need more testimonies. I really do. You know, this might be something helpful for your church. I would buy a ticket to this. It's got to be cheaper than going to a movie theater. I think it's like 15, 17 bucks now.
A piece.
I would pay 15 bucks if you said, come to church tonight, 2 hours, you're going to hear nothing but Christian testimonies and conversion stories, or powerful acts of God in a believer's life. I would go and sit and listen as long as they provided a box of Kleenex, because, wow, but wouldn't that be edifying? Maybe we need that balanced diet, because we have a tendency to hear the shouting of the world. This is falling apart. Here's the election voting problems. Biden's doing this. The AG is doing that. All stuff we should be aware of, but it is just a cacophony of voices that are clamoring for our attention, and they get it. And if that's our steady diet, wouldn't it be nice to have a side dish of testimonies to remind yourself that God is working? That God does amazing things, and he's about the work of building the kingdom, not the kingdoms of this world. Those are so little. I know. We think America's strong. China's strong. Look at their military. Nothing. Nothing. Taking over a nation for God? Are you kidding me? Would the dried thistle tempt the fire? Go ahead, try it. No, the fire just consumes it. It's nothing. Nations are stubble, and God could easily conquer each and every one of them. But that's not the kingdom he is currently building. He's building the kingdom of his Christ. He's building the church. He's building a spiritual kingdom that is everlasting. And maybe, just maybe, we'd be reminded of that if we heard more testimonies. Okay. All right. Jimmy.
Yes.
I've been thinking about this for at least 3 to 5 seconds. I think it's a brilliant idea, and I think we're going to go with it.
Okay.
You know the beep talk number, right?
Yes. 1-877-282-BEEP.
Call it. Leave your testimony. Now, try to keep it pithy, because otherwise Jimmy will edit the smithereens out of it. You don't want that. So you know what? How would you like to bless at least tens and tens of people who are listening? Write it out. Make it short and punchy. And by the way, in case you don't think your conversion story is like great, you're not remembering what makes a conversion story great. It's not the circumstances or how long you worked in a crack house. What makes a testimony great is that God takes a dead sinner and makes them alive. That's what God does in conversion, and that's a big deal. We'd love to hear about it. 1-877-282-BEEP. Here's a test. I got it. Look at this.
Already?
How providential.
You got one already?
I got a testimony for you right here from Jill Biden.
Okay.
She went to a Baptist church. When God didn't answer her one last desperate prayer before the death of her stepson, Beau Biden, it was 2015. First Lady Jill Biden felt so betrayed she couldn't even pray. She told a congregation at Brooklyn Baptist Church in Columbia, South Carolina, I didn't think politicians were supposed to go into churches. And that's the... Oh, I'm sorry. It's okay if the one... Got it. Sorry, I forgot about the one-way street that we're currently living on in our postmodern world. She said, though, she's come back to the faith. I chose it as a teenager when I fell in love with the peace of the quiet wooden pew, the joy of the choir. Like this choir you have here. And the deep wisdom of the Gospels. Prayer is especially a way that I connect to people that I love to the world around me. But in 2015, my faith was shaken. And so now, apparently, something happened. We don't know what. She's presumably now walking with the Lord and advocating for the death and slaughter of millions of children. Because that just goes hand in hand with Christendom. But, doesn't it?
But did you say she chose faith because the pew was wooden?
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah,
oh,
that's
wow.
See, that would be the sign a testimony needs a little sharpening.
It's just a little.
It should maybe involve things like who God is. I was just watching a video. It was good, but they started with people need to understand they're lost before they'll desire to get found. I think in order for that to make sense, we need to start with God. Let's talk about God. I'm writing a book right now, and that's precisely what I find myself doing. Hold on. This only really makes full sense in light of who God is. Now you can start to understand why lying is a big deal to the God of truth. If we're going to witness rightly to people, start with God's character and nature, then go to our character and nature, what we deserve from God, what he's done for us instead, and what we must do to receive everlasting life. That's a testimony. Jill's, not so much, but we would love to hear yours. You like that idea, Jimmy? Or are you just cringing?
No, I like it.
The phone calls 1-877-282-BEEP to encourage all of us. This is Wretched Radio.
You know, there are a ton of things people partner in. Some have business partners. Some have workout partners. Everybody needs accountability partners. Then there are partners in crime, which I don't recommend. You've got marriage partners, which I do recommend. And of course, we can't forget the Wretched Gospel Partner. Our gospel partners make what we're able to do here at Wretched possible. Without you guys, there is no Wretched. You have faithfully and consistently helped Wretched reach millions of people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, we humbly thank you. And if you haven't done so, would you please prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner with Wretched? You can know that your generous gifts will be faithfully stewarded away. So would you, number one, please pray for us? And number two, would you also pray about how you could support Wretched as a monthly gospel partner? Get more details on how you can do just that right now at wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate.
If you like to support ministries that focus on sharing the gospel, you will love Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids get loved on and they hear the gospel, like Armic from the Republic of Georgia.
2 years ago, I was invited to a camp organized by the Tomorrow Clubs. Tomorrow Clubs helped me see Jesus was my God and Savior. If it hadn't been for the Tomorrow Clubs, I would never have learned about Jesus.
$30 per month will be sufficient for a Tomorrow Club to operate, gather the kids, and preach the gospel to them in places like Georgia and Ukraine and Romania and Russia. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Well, are you ready for another road trip? Of course you are. Just grab your luggage and let's load up. Okay, not really. You don't need to bring anything but maybe a pen and notebook for our next Road Trip to Truth Season 2, because it's here and it's available now at roadtriptotruth.org. And I know you're asking, how are you guys able to improve on the first season? Well, we have all new experts and new lessons that powerfully counter all of the continuous assaults on Christianity. Those assaults unfortunately wind up sidelining many youth and adults, and so we're diving into topics like the gospel, environmentalism, abortion, pornography, agnosticism, 13 total lessons, as a matter of fact, with new experts like Pastor Milton Vincent, Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. John Street, Scott Klusendorf, Jess Arns, and more. Road Trip to Truth Season 2. It's on sale right now. And don't forget about the study guide. It's available as well. RoadTripToTruth.org or wretched.org/roadtrip.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to Him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. When we were dead in sin and unrighteousness, God provided the righteousness He requires in Jesus Christ, our substitute. If God has provided for our salvation, how much more is He able to meet our daily needs? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this is a mystery. This is Wretched Radio. Just reading the Forbes list of the top 10 richest pastors in the world. That's right.
Did you find me on there?
Jimmy, you didn't quite make the top 10 this year.
Okay.
Now, I believe a couple of years ago you were on the list, but this year, times are a little tough.
A little bit.
For Jimmy Hicks. They list the top 10 preachers because they've identified this is kind of like a sect of our society. They'll do the wealth of corporate CEOs, of Hollywood celebrities, and pastors, which are a lot like Hollywood celebrities. I find myself scratching my head because, you see, Kenneth Copeland is on the list, but he claims to be a billionaire. According to Forbes, Jimmy, he's only worth $25 million.
But he claims to be a billionaire.
Oh. See, no matter how you slice that fat cat cake, It does not bode well for him because he's either lying or he's got a phenomenally staggering, ridiculous amount of money for a pastor.
So he's either lying or lying.
I don't want to sound like a liberal because I'm not, but I do want to sound like a Christian. I actually believe that if a Christian goes out and he does a bang-up job in business, congratulations when God blesses it financially. Congratulations. That, however, is a far cry from a pastor getting stinking rich off of people who are struggling, hurting, wanting a miracle, or they are covetously desiring to get rich. Profiting from that, ooh. And if elders have a stricter judgment, one can only imagine what's in store for Benny Hinn on the list, $25 million. Creflo Dollar, $27 million. I think I just saw a Justin. I didn't get to watch this one. It was a Justin Peters. No, who was it? Somebody popped up in my feed claiming that Creflo Dollar said that he's God.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Huh.
Why would that shock us? Joel Osteen coming in at a paltry $40 million.
That's all.
He's nice. That guy. He's really nice. He's so nice. So helpful.
Yeah, he is.
For himself, Chris Oyakilome, $50 million. Oh, boy. T.D. Jakes coming in at number two with $147 million. Wow.
Whoa.
I just saw him, too. I don't. Maybe it was Justin doing it. Somebody was doing a video on T.D. Jakes as he stalks the stage. And just saying, it's like, oh, stop doing that to the Bible, sir. Please just spare yourself. Stop using the Bible as a springboard into self-help and prosperity. Finally, at number one, David Oyedepo. $200 million is what this fellow is worth. You know, Jimmy, I have such a conundrum. I can't get something figured out.
What's that?
Well, I was just reading a survey that people ranked the people that they trust, and pastors were way down on the list with politicians and, I'm not kidding, prostitutes. I don't know why. Can you help me resolve this mystery? Why some people might think that some pastors are just in it for the money?
Just maybe alliteration?
Have to do some research on this. Evangelical churches have higher percentage of practicing Christians than mainline, new poll finds. However, 70% of those professing evangelicals claim Jesus is not the only way, which means you're not an evangelical Christian. You can biff it on some things, but not on that thing. You get the nature of Jesus wrong. Every creed makes it clear. You're not in. Understanding the nature of Jesus Christ foundational. 70% of evangelicals. Do you know what that tells us? That in this whatever church that they're going to or silly center, they're not hearing these things. Oh, they get life hacks. Oh, the practical parenting tips. They abound. But teaching on Jesus Christ? Our associate pastor preached on Sunday. Check this out. What was the text? Numbers 13 and 14. That's right, two chapters worth. And this is the story about the Jewish people who are wandering in the wilderness. They're finally getting to the promised land. They send in the spies, 10 of them listed by name. They come back first saying, yeah, this is everything God said that it was going to be. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. They carried grapes between two men on a stick. In other words, they didn't bring just like a little vine of grapes. They brought like a Costco size grape vine, huge, to go, look at this, this land. It's just filled with goodies and the cities. They're amazing. But the cities are fortified. And it's a land of giants, and we better not go in there. Now, it's shocking that all but two agreed with their report. Caleb, he didn't agree. Joshua, he didn't agree. Caleb we think it means wholehearted. Joshua, God saves. Not he saves, like his former name, Joshua. God saves. They believed that God was going to make good on his promise, and they had every reason to believe it. They had just seen 10 plagues, the parting of a Red Sea, all of the Egyptian soldiers drowned, providing water in the wilderness from a rock. You know how moist a rock is? God provided a stream of water for the people to drink from. Picture of Jesus, by the way. 1 Corinthians 10:11. In that neighborhood. That's what God had just done for them. And now they're going, oh, you can't go in. We don't want to go in. What does God do? God tells them, no, you're right. You can't go in. That's the whole point. But I'll take you into the promised land. I'll lead you into an abundant land. I will lead you to a place that is filled and flowing with my goodness. You can't, I can. And they said, we don't think so. God goes on to say, well, if that's the case, then you're all going to die in the wilderness. So what do they try to do? Now they try to go into the land. Well, if you're going to kill us in the wilderness, I guess we can go in. And what happens? They get routed. And then they all die in the wilderness, except for those 18 and under. That generation passed. You say, that's a great story. What does that have to do with Jesus Christ? Everything. That's a picture of the gospel. We can't get into paradise, but Jesus can lead us in. We can't overcome the giants, but Jesus slays them. We cannot get into the promised land. Jesus said, you're right, you can't, but I can. Trust me and live. Don't trust me, you'll die. In other words, Numbers 13 and 14 was about the gospel of Jesus Christ. 70% of evangelicals don't know that Jesus is God. Well, he has to be God just from that typology alone. That if Numbers 13 and 14 is a picture of Christ, who leads the children of Israel out of bondage into the promised land? God. Who leads us out of spiritual bondage into the heavenly promised land? Jesus. God, Jesus. Same essence. Same substance. That's our God. And if we don't understand that Jesus Christ is the only way, I mean, this alone should just cause us to go, he's got to be the only way. In order for God to preach the gospel, prattle, really, he has a picture of a group of people, probably a couple million people, perhaps more, in Egypt, led out through a wilderness, through a sea, taking them to the promised land, which ultimately he gave them the next generation, so that there could be a picture of faithlessness and belief, and that there could be a picture that only God saves. So that when we now, thousands of years later, read that story, we go, that's just like Jesus right there. He went through that sort of effort. He went through that sort of trouble. He orchestrated all of that we could be encouraged that the Bible is sufficient and Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. For 70% of evangelicals to come around and go, nah, maybe not. Why would he go through such work to say, but do yoga. Mindfulness is fine. Worship the Brahman. I don't care. Now, I know the Old Testament is loaded with stories of the unfaithfulness of God's people with the Baal and the Asherah poles. But now I'm down with it. I'm down with multi-deities. Go ahead, worship any way that you want to. Nonsense. God went through a great deal of effort to provide a Savior and to write a book that proves that he is the promised Messiah who takes his people into the promised land. And if he went through all of that for us, the thought of being pluralistic as an evangelical is absolutely ridiculous. If you're in a church where you're not hearing about the nature of Jesus Christ, preaching about types and shadows, you might want to go find 30% of evangelicals and ask them where they go into church. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.